The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a mock-up of a family. It is a mock-up of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the first presidency, and the 12 sons of Jacob in the Quorum of the 12, and the 70 descendants that went into Egypt when they migrated into Egypt when Joseph was counselor to Pharaoh, that you can read in Exodus chapter 1, verse 5. That's the church. It is a mock-up. It is an imitation. It is a facsimile of the family of Abraham. It is not the family of Abraham. But it is a powerful evidence that the family of Abraham is in fact something Joseph Smith was interested in restoring. Eventually, that which is a mockery is going to give way to that which is the family. First, you have a schoolmaster, and then you have the reality. Joseph was headed to the reality, but he didn't get there in his day. In the immediate aftermath of Joseph's death and the completion of the Nauvoo Temple, there was a lot of questions that could not then be answered because they simply no longer had the keys with which to get the answers to the questions that were pressing upon them. If they didn't have the ability to ask and get an answer, then they couldn't get direction. And they couldn't. Therefore, what Joseph was doing was left without a culmination. You can go out, and there is physical proof in the restored Nauvoo Temple. You can see this on the website where the photograph was taken and put up, bare record, where there's a place where the brick size changes in the construction of the Nauvoo Temple. They were making small bricks, and you can see how far up the small bricks run on the outside of the temple. When Joseph was killed, in order to complete the temple in greater haste, the size of the bricks increase. And so there's a point at which the size of the bricks go from small to larger when they're hastening the work in which they're trying to get the building done. The level at which the temple had been completed at the time of the martyrdom essentially was a repetition of what had been built in the Kirtland Temple. It is the solemn assembly room. Okay? Joseph never lived to tell anyone how to build the top of the Nauvoo Temple. So when they got to the point that they were finishing the Nauvoo Temple, they didn't have any plans for what happened in the attic area, other than the rooms around the perimeter in which the priesthood was supposed to meet. And so to create the ceremonial setting in which the Nauvoo Temple endowment companies were taken through, they took canvas that Joseph had ordered for a bowery so they could get in out of the weather, and they took the canvas and they made partitions in the attic area to divide the rooms up in which to present the endowment in the attic of the Kirtland, or of the Nauvoo Temple. Had Joseph lived, he would have been able to finish out that space. He didn't live, and so they did it with canvas. They did it as a temporary thing, and they administered the endowments in that setting. In the process of administering those things, there was something that went on that they were trying to imitate what Joseph had been talking about. And Brigham Young makes an explanation shortly after they abandoned. I mean, the same month that they abandoned Nauvoo and they're heading west. He gives a talk in winter quarters in February of 1847. This is the 16th of February. They walked out of town on the 9th. So this is a week later. He's talking about a subject that really defines what the entirety of this topic is really involved with. The Lord introduced the law of adoption for the benefit of the children of men as a schoolmaster to bring them back to the covenant of the priesthood, not as some have supposed to add anything to his glory. This principle, I answer, is not clearly understood by many of the elders in this church at the present time, as it will hereafter. And I confess that I have only had a smattering of these things. But when it is necessary, I will attain to more knowledge on this subject and consequently will be entitled to teach and practice more and will, in the meantime, glorify God, the bountiful giver. The rest of that talk's interesting, and I would comment on it, but we don't have time. So this is on the 16th of February. On the 23rd, another week later, Brigham Young gives another talk. And this talk is pointed to for one purpose. I want to read you a more fulsome account and suggest to you the more important purpose. Okay? This is that great occasion on which Brigham Young went to sleep and had a dream in which Joseph Smith appeared to him. And Joseph Smith, well, let me read you the account. I'm into the part where he's already introduced that he's dreaming, that he's seen Joseph, and that Joseph is now talking to him. I then discovered there was a handrail between us. Joseph stood by a window in the southwest of him. It was very light. I was in the twilight, and to the north of me, it was very dark. Joseph's in the light. Brigham's in the dark. I said, "Brother Joseph, the brethren you know well, better than I do. You raised them up and brought the priesthood to us. The brethren have a great anxiety to understand the law of adoption or sealing principles. And if you have a word of counsel for me, I should be glad to receive it." So now, of all the things about which Brigham Young could be talking to the prophet Joseph Smith on this occasion, the thing that comes thundering to the foreground that he would like to know about is the law of adoption. He wants to know that, standing as he is in the dark. Joseph stepped toward me and, looking very earnestly yet pleasantly, said, "Tell the people to be humble and faithful. Be sure to keep the spirit of the Lord. It will lead them right. Be careful and not turn away the small voice. It will teach you what to do and where to go. It will yield the fruits of the kingdom. Tell the brethren to keep their hearts open to conviction, so that when the Holy Ghost comes to them, their hearts will be ready to receive it. They can tell the Spirit of the Lord from all other spirits. It will whisper peace and joy to their souls. It will take malice, hatred, strife, and all evil from their hearts. And their whole desire will be to do good, bring forth righteousness, and build up the kingdom of God. Tell the brethren if they will follow the Spirit of the Lord, they will go right. Be sure to tell the people to keep the Spirit of the Lord. And if they will, they will find themselves just as they were organized by our Father in heaven before they came into the world. Our Father in heaven organized the human family, but they are all disorganized and in great confusion. And so Joseph's answer to the pressing question of how do we go about getting these sealings right is to say, "Oh, go get the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost guide you. God will get you organized." In other words, Joseph punted on the answer. It would do no good for the answer to be given if the authority with which to administer the answer was something that wasn't there. Therefore, rather than to tell him so that some solemn mockery continued, it was time to bring it to an end. And although they made an effort to continue in that vein for a short while, as I pointed out in passing the heavenly gift, everyone talked about they didn't understand it. And in fact, some of the leading brethren said, "I didn't believe it when I first heard it, and I don't believe it now." And the practice of adoption came to an end. Okay? But I want to go back for a moment to what we do know from Doctrine and Covenants section 132 that comes from the prophet Joseph Smith, because that's it. That's the entirety of what we have from him. And in verse 7 of this section 132, it says,